Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys are live.
Welcome back. It is hour two of In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thank you so much for tuning in. How are you tuning in? I don't know. Maybe you're listening on the app. Maybe you're listening on TuneIn, but you can also listen to us over on iHeartRadio. There's a lot of different ways that you can listen to us live, whether it's that Fantasy Sports Radio app, the other ways I just told you, and you can always podcast this show. All of our 3 hours on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network are available every single place from Spotify to iTunes. So make sure you search that as well. You can find anything that we do, whether it's the In This League stuff or the Fantrax show, the Fantasy Black Book that we do. All of those are on the interwebs and the podcast world. We got a great guest, but I do want to tell you first that football is not just around the corner. It's here, but the Fantasy Sports Radio Network is still thinking about baseball because we're giving away some World Series tickets right here. And this time it's to the winner of a free DFS baseball contest. The contests are sponsored by DKMS because they're looking for your help in the fight against blood cancer. For many patients, a bone marrow transplant is the best chance for survival because while 30% of patients can find a matching donor in their families, 70%, which is nearly 14,000, rely on strangers. You can find out how you can help the cause and win 2018 World Series tickets by playing free daily fantasy baseball by going to dailyroto.com/DKMS. That's dailyroto.com/DKMS, your ticket to the World Series and blood cancer's patient's ticket to life. All right, we are going to get into some football action, and we are now joined by one of our good buddies over at Fantrax. Again, I told you, Bogman, myself, and Joe Pizzapia, we host the Fantasy Black Book. We do multi shows a week of fantasy football talk. But Stephen Tarone as well, you can find on Fantrax, part of doing some articles, part of the draft guide, and he is one half of the Hot Take podcast. Tarone, what's going on, my friend?
What's up, Welsh? Bogman, how you guys feeling, man?
We're good. Doing the thing. Bogman's always simple, so he's pretty good and not always doing pretty good.
Brought it back. Oh, that's unfortunate.
I'm sorry.
Pleasure to be on, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Everyone, you can find all, like I said, you can find all of Steve's content over at Fantrax and Fantrax HQ. What do you got going on for this coming season? I want you to talk about the podcast here in a minute, but as far as the writing side goes over at Fantrax, what should people be on the lookout for?
Yeah, so every Monday I'm going to have my fantasy stock watch, which is I've been doing all summer, but it's going to be more relevant to, you know, hey, like what's just happened over the weekend, who's hot, who's really not, who I'm kind of fading. We'll get into some rankings during the week as well, and then we're going to be hitting on some sleeper potentials that can kind of act as like a waiver wire guide. People that you might think to bench usually, but I might kind of swing it in a way where suggested I would start them. So I'm going to be doing that for the wide receivers and tight ends every Tuesday, and then the rankings will drop on Wednesday.
Well, let me ask you this, just right off the bat, because Welsh and I were talking about it in the last segment. Where did you have your quarterbacks ranked for week one yet?
I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't have them ranked for week one.
Do you think if Carson Wentz doesn't play, where would you put Nick Foles on Thursday night against Atlanta? Like, do you think he's middle of the pack? Do you think he's QB1 territory, or is he a guy that you're avoiding?
Yeah, he's probably a guy I'm avoiding. I think that the Falcons are pretty underrated as far as their defense goes. I like their pass rush a lot. And then Foles got banged up in the preseason. So yeah, I don't really have faith in Foles. I'd rather stream someone else, you know. I would look around on my streaming.
Yeah, we went through a couple, like Andy Dalton against the Colts. Probably.
Yeah, exactly. Like yeah,
okay.
find the matchup that you want and kind of avoid that one. Because, yeah, the Falcons are a decent defense. I don't think anyone's kind of projecting that. But
I think there's, like, it's tough to know week one is the hardest week to predict, of course.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I would avoid Foles because of, to be honest, what Alex Smith did last season on Thursday Night Football, just went in and, you know, threw four touchdowns and no one expected that from him. So I don't know. Like, we were just kind of going back and forth on that in the last segment. So I just figured I'd ask you that.
Yeah, we're going to go through also some more week one stuff. But another interesting thing to think about is drafts are technically not over. So if you go over to Fantrax HQ, you can check out the draft guide, which Steve had a role in, and you can see some of the great content there. And we'd always tell you, even if you guys are maybe setting up last leagues, Fantrax also, they've got their cash games going on. So you can just jump in to, you want to do a last minute league, 20, you know, 25 buck one, jump in. They got a cash game league. You can do a quick draft. You can be set up and maybe it can help diversify some teams. It's a fun way. It's not quite DFS, but it is fun cash games that Fantrax has, as well as all the other crazy stuff, the customization on their leagues. What, Steve, what do you think the biggest change was from, because Bogman, Steve, you guys both played a role in putting together the Fantrax HQ free draft guide that people can check out. But Steve, what do you think was a big change from the major elements of putting this together to now, as well as you've been podcasting and writing more? Is there anything that jumps out to you when that was being put together that you maybe completely did a 180 on through the rest of your research?
Oh, yeah, lots of cases of that. But one that kind of jumps out at me, I was really big on Sammy Watkins at the beginning of the year, so much so that I was hesitant to talk about him. And then he just started blowing up and everyone just knew about him. It was like, OK, Sammy Watkins, potential wide receiver, too. You know, I'm fading that. And, you know, as I was right, we kind of dove into the draft kit initially. I was assigned to the AFC West teams. So, you know, I was writing about Chiefs, obviously, and I was finding all these crazy stats with Tyreek Hill. And one that jumped out at me, what I really love, is that of Tyreek Hill's 75 catches last season, 55 of them were within 10 yards. So he caught 55 balls within 10 yards, but he was still something like eighth in the league in yards per reception.
I'm about to say, what's that yak look like? The yards after catch. By that case, I would imagine he's got to be
boys
top,
too fast.
He's got to be top three or four in yak, right?
I would imagine. Yeah, I don't have that in front of me, but I do know that he's at 15.8 yards per reception. So that's a great percentage within 10 yards. So obviously with Alex Smith, you know, you can kind of look, you know, maybe he was just a possession receiver with him, and Pat Mahomes wants to be a gunslinger. I really see Tyreek as kind of being like a safety valve too underneath, because he's such a sharp, quick route runner. And, you know, you're not bumping this guy within 5 yards. You can't. So you have to give him that space. Tyreek Hill's just going to be open underneath and get a lot of receptions. I really think that Mahomes is going to be looking for him. So I think that the gap is a lot wider than I thought it would be between Hill and Watkins.
Bogman, we love Hill, though, right? We yeah, love, I mean, Watkins, but we really love Hill.
I have, you know, we just did our share show over at In This League. I have zero shares of Sammy Watkins, and I'm a Sammy Watkins apologist. I'm a Sammy Watkins fan, number four pick in the draft out of Clemson. I was really excited about him coming in. You know, it just didn't work out in Buffalo. He was banged up last year in L.A. So you think, OK, Kansas City, new team. But when you start really breaking down Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill, number two receiving option behind Travis Kelce. So he's at best the number three receiving option on that team. And Kareem Hunt caught 55 passes. By the way, looking at it right here, Tyreek Hill, 11th in yak.
Ah, see, that surprises me. That surprises me. Yeah.
But he's behind, most of these guys are, let me see, he is the he's the third wideout, because you got to remember, most of the yak yards, I'm looking not at, you know, per catch, just total.
Oh, I get what you're saying. So you're this is going to be running back heavy.
Most are running backs.
Okay,
Gurley,
so then
Bell, Kamara, McCaffrey are top four.
I kind of nailed it then, as far as like three of wide receiver, because that's what I meant. Who are the two wide receivers that had the higher yak?
Tate and AB.
Yeah, so
I wouldn't
guess
Tate.
Well, Tate's obviously, you know, getting a lot of underneath work.
Well, 90 catches too. It was because we're looking at total here. I don't have average. So we're looking at total just 92 catches for Golden Tate last year. Just the sheer volume means he's going to have more yards after the catch than a lot of those guys. Same thing with AB. So but Tyreek Hill had, you know, 17 less catches than Golden Tate, and he was third.
So then you got a lot more aggressive on Tyreek Hill, Steve, I'm guessing.
I really did. And, you know, it's tough to kind of target him because you got to get him in that third round. I don't like him as my wide receiver one, so I need to make sure that I have a wide receiver before I get him. So it's really going to be all based on roster construction if I do draft him.
That makes a lot of sense. One other thing, obviously, to mention, and I briefly said it right at the top, is you also are one half of the Hot Take Fantasy Football podcast that you and Blake Sullivan, Blake from Rotoballer, and you guys have put that podcast together. It's relatively new. You guys are still rocking it up. I don't know how many episodes you're in now, but give us a brief description of what's going on with that and what people should be on the lookout for in season.
Yeah, so virtually anything we've done so far, we have five episodes out right now. None of that is going to be relevant to what we're about to do. We're actually changing it up. All of these episodes, the first five, have been about an hour. And the first four, we did our rankings, so really highlighted myself and Blake's rankings and kind of debated those. We did a mock draft with James Coe just last week. I think that got released last Sunday. And so now all that's thrown out the window. We're going to be doing about 25 to 30 minute videos during the week, two 25 to 30 minute videos. One at the beginning of the week, kind of going over, you know, reviewing the week prior. And then the one later in the week will be just kind of gearing up for the week to come.
Okay. Are these going to be put on the Hot Take feed, or is it going to just be video now?
Yeah, so it's going to be on Rotoballer's YouTube channel, and that's where you can find it. It's going to be up on a couple other things as well, but that's going to be the main place that you can find it, Rotoballer's YouTube channel.
Okay, cool. So
what's the hottest take that you have right now? I want to know the hottest take that's going to make us go, what the hell are you that's the one I want. What's the hottest take that you could give us here and not spoil for the podcast?
Oh, that's tough, man. I like it, though.
Put you on the spot.
Yeah. I'm going to say, and this, you know what? I could probably think of hotter takes. Can I give you two, and then you tell me which one's hotter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say Stefan Diggs is going to finish ahead of Adam Thielen. And okay. I think right now that's becoming more of the consensus, right?
I'd say that's like, I don't want to call it lukewarm, but it's a... You know, it gets the water warm one.
I can put my hand in that take.
Yeah, exactly. I can put my finger through that one.
In June, that would have been like I was the only one. I'm telling you.
Yep.
But let's go with this. Anthony Miller finishes around ballpark of Allen Robinson. I'm not going to say he's going to finish ahead of him because I think that Allen Robinson is getting that volume. But when it comes to, you know, looking at the Bears wide receivers, I think that people really need to look at Allen Robinson and figure out what he is, because what he was when we saw him last completely healthy was a wide receiver too. So we really have to look at that. Everyone remembers that big year he had. That's fine. But let's look at the most recent. Okay, he was a wide receiver too in 2016. And then he was lost for the year due to a devastating knee injury. So we think, you know, oh, Allen Robinson, surefire wide receiver one. Well, you know, Anthony Miller is going to be in that slot, and he's going to be out there for these three wide receiver sets. Matt Nagy's offense is going to be spread out like crazy. I mean, we're going to have Trey Burton out there. We're going to have Tariq Cohen. There's going to be a lot of things going on. And when it comes to a second-year quarterback, Allen Robinson could just be a field stretcher, just like Sammy Watkins was last year for Jared Goff. Think Anthony Miller is going to get a lot of volume.
How dare you? So
that one will be great for me, Bogman, because I got Anthony Miller shares.
Yeah, man.
But see, that take, I think both excited and pissed off the Welsh, because he loves him some Anthony Miller.
Yeah.
But he also loves him some Allen Robinson.
Yeah, both of her problem. Both are a little bit of a problem for me.
But we can't have all the Bears. I mean, I want to, you know, I love, you know, Jordan Howard, Tariq, they're all great, but can they really all be, you know, wide receiver one,
yes,
RB
best one? Offense in the league right there.
There you go.
Of course. Everybody knows it.
All right, so we got a couple minutes before we go to break here, but I want to hit a tiny bit of this, and then we'll talk maybe about some week one ranks that are coming up here. But I think you have an article out, or at least you've been talking about some sneaky value plays. So maybe, because we've got about 2 minutes here, talk to me if you think the 2 minutes is good for one. I want to at least get to a couple of these. Give me one of your sneaky value plays and where people can find the information about what you put out on these sneaky guys.
Sure. Yeah. My most recent with Fantrax is just a sneaky value play piece, just kind of, you know, going over what we've learned in the preseason and throughout the offseason and kind of noticing these players' ADP hasn't really moved that much. Jonathan Williams is a guy who's creeped into the surface, and I think that people saw him get the majority of the carries in that week three preseason game with the Saints. So Jonathan Williams is a guy who is going to be in that Mark Ingram role, I project him to be anyway. So you can get him virtually at the end of the draft. He works really well if you're doing zero RB. If you're getting heavy on your wide receivers and you need a fill-in for a few weeks, I think Jonathan Williams can be that guy. It's kind of risky, and you really don't know going into week one, so that's a tough start for week one. But what I say to do with Jonathan Williams at the end of the draft, snatch him up and kind of see what's going on, see what you can find out for week one, because it's a great matchup. The Saints are at home against the Buccaneers. You have to figure they're going to be up in that game and they're going to be running the ball. They're not going to want to give Alvin Kamara 25 carries. It would not benefit them to do that. It doesn't benefit Kamara to do that as well.
And a lot of people will be able to pick him up as they go into some leagues that he didn't go into. You know, we'll pick up more when we get on the other side of this break. I think that is a great one, because whether you've got a draft over the next couple days, you scoop him up in the final rounds of a draft, or like I said, there might be plenty out there that you still have an opportunity to mess around with your roster. Maybe you're playing in 10 man, maybe some 12 man, so you can mess around with that. So when we come back, we're going to continue talking to Steve Tirone of Fantrax, and we're going to talk about some sneaky plays. And we're going to talk about some week one plays. So don't go anywhere. We're going to get back into more of it. I am Chris Welsh. That is Scott Bogman. Steve Tirone joining us from Fantrax. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back for more on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and... Littering and...
Littering and smoking...
In this league.
Break it down.
BetDSI is celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They've got great customer service and fast, easy payment of winnings. You can play virtually every sport at BetDSI with hundreds of wagering options, including live in-game wagering on all major sporting events, where you can make your play, at any time during the game. That wasn't easy to say. BetDSI runs sign-up and deposit promotions year-round if you're willing to adhere to rollover requirements. For instance, for a limited time using promo code FNTSY, BetDSI is offering up to $2,500 on your first deposit. So use promo code FNTSY and try BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com, promo code FNTSY. Head on over and start winning today. I'm telling you, Bogman, it's like we talked about earlier. Like, we're in that, like, four-day stretch. It's like that that loopy feeling. Like, I'm getting that with the reads. Everything
Ambien.
Is getting loopy. Yeah,
so you've been taking some Ambien. You're going to wake up tomorrow and be like, when did I do this read? I don't remember that at all.
That would be fantastic.
And what did I say in my tweets? My God.
Yeah, I had that. I've had that a few times. We are joined by Steven Tirone. You can find him over at Fantrax, and you can find him on Twitter at FFProfessorST3. Steve, talk to me about that Twitter handle, FFProfessorST3. Professor ST3.
Couldn't fit a Q or a couple more numbers
Did
in
I
there?
Get a niner in there? What's going on?
Nice Tommy Boy reference. I love that. Well, I was like Steven underscore Taroni forever, and I just was like, that's so generic. So I started going by the Fantasy Professor on Reddit, and I started saying it on the Hot Take podcast, like, hey, I'm the Fantasy Professor. I was like, oh, all right, yeah, okay, let's go with that.
I'm with all that. The ST3.
ST3, that goes back, man.
Is that your
that
model
goes
number?
Back to like,
oh.
Yeah, that goes back to, like, middle school. That was, like, AIM Instant Messenger. Like,
man. How old are you, Taroni?
I'm 29.
29?
Okay. Okay. You're right on the brink of it.
You
knew AIM. Okay. That's good. Well, I mean, we can never tell. Okay. Just sure. Get down to it. So there you go. FF Professor ST3. You can follow Steve on Twitter. Like we said, Fantrax HQ. You can get those great articles and go check out the Hot Take Pod, or really probably follow the Twitter, because like you said, you guys are kind of transferring over to, it sounds like, more video. And so again, wait, maybe I got confused before. So will there be anything on the Hot Take Pod, like the podcast feed, or is it strictly you guys are going to be doing that video content for RotoBaller only?
So the Hot Take Podcast is turning into video content.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's what I wanted to make sure.
That's right. Yeah. And then we're also going to be doing, me and Blake are also going to be doing videos for Playline too. Playline.com is pretty cool, sort of like way to play fantasy football or any fantasy sport in general. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar, but yeah, you just pick a couple stats and it's like, you know, depending on who's in the contest, it could be Andrew Luck, Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, and Tom Brady. Pick how many yards Tom Brady's going to throw. And depending on how close you are is how many points you get. So we're going to be promoting that stuff on Playline, going through the slates there twice a week as well. It's pretty cool. One of the biggest investors for Playline is actually Michael Bisping of the UFC. And he potentially is going to be on some of our videos. So really excited about that.
Cool. Right on, man.
That sounds awesome.
Lots of cool stuff going on in the fantasy sphere. And that's why, Boggs, we were talking earlier too, just like, anytime, like when the NFL, when I heard that thing about like CBS is not going to embrace like gambling lines, it's just like, why any network or the NFL alone wouldn't just say, listen, we need to let every avenue accept and embrace the NFL, because all it does is it creates the bigger market share, especially because the NFL has faced so much scrutiny, and there's nothing that Big J journalists want more than to talk about ratings dips. If they can find any story to tell about a ratings dip across the NFL, they want to. Yet, year in and year out, we are inundated with brand new ways to play fantasy, whether it's, it's been our season long. We all of a sudden, you know, years back introduced to DFS. We've gotten best ball contests now. And then there's a lot more. There's unique DFS places, and there's other unique ways for people to interact with fantasy. It's a whole new world.
Well, this needs to be like, what was the whole thing with the pitching ninja and the GIFs and all that stuff? Like, you know, you don't want, like, baseball was kind of limiting what.
Oh, you mean like when
you don't want any of that.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, because Major League Baseball, they're just ridiculous. If you share any of their content without like crazy attribution on Twitter, they would like get you suspended, and that's what happened.
Yeah.
To I was calling Pizza Ninja. That'd be a great Twitter account.
Pizza Ninja.
Pizza
I like
Ninja.
That.
All right, I like it.
I could use a Pizza Ninja over here to bring me some food.
Yeah, that would be great. So, again, we're talking with Steven Taroni, Fantrax, and over at RotoBaller, of course. When we went to break last, we were talking about some sneaky value plays. You've got an article up over at Fantrax HQ. You were talking about Jonathan Williams. Let's go into, unless you have anything else to talk about Jonathan Williams, let's get another one here. Who's another? You don't have to go through every guy in your article, but pick out another player that is a sneaky value play that people can find in that article.
Yeah, Jamal Williams is a guy who, actually, at the beginning of the offseason, Bogman, that was a big thing that we were talking about, was the Packers backfield. And I don't think any of us had really anything to say. We were just kind of like, whoever's the starter.
I did.
I've always kind of liked Aaron Jones. I've always kind of pegged Aaron Jones for that job. I know he's suspended the first 2 weeks, but also Jamal Williams has some tougher matchups. I mean, Minnesota week two and Chicago week one. So it's not the greatest of matchups. So I don't know. If he does have big games in both of those, you'd kind of have to say, well, this is our guy. I just don't know if he's going to hit that.
Yeah, you're right. The matchups are definitely troublesome, but the opportunity will be there. And that's what I'm kind of seeing for Jamal Williams. He's a sixth round draft pick right now. So if you're still drafting, you can get him the sixth round. And that's pretty comfortable spot to grab him. So you know that he's going to get the volume in the first two games. He's playing with Aaron Rodgers, which he didn't do last season when he was the starter. But when he was the starter, I mean, the dude was getting crazy volume, probably by necessity with Brett Hundley. But he was it's true that they really didn't want to throw too much with him. But he was an RB1 from weeks 12 through 15. So he was getting work in the passing game. He is obviously a good runner up the middle, and he is the best pass blocker on the Packers at the running back. So that's huge. You want to protect your quarterback who you just paid, who was just injured last season. I think they're going to find ways to get him on the field, and it's going to be tough for them to get him off. So Aaron Jones, he's going to come back into the Packers lineup week three. I really believe, because he was actually healthy when Jamal Williams was doing his thing from week 12 to 15, but he just wasn't getting on the field because Jamal Williams was playing so well. So I think that because there's kind of some clarity here, we know that it's going to be Jamal Williams and Ty Montgomery in weeks one and two. I'm going for Jamal Williams, and I know that I'm getting at least the first 2 weeks as far as volume goes, and then I'm hoping that he hits and he remains the majority target share holder.
Bogdan, does that hurt?
I just don't know that I completely agree with it, because I agree there's clarity early. But I just think down the stretch, and especially because of the yards per carry, and you mentioned the Brett Hundley thing, I think if you need a guy to just run into stacked boxes, that's Jamal Williams. And that is what he had to do at the end of the season last year. If you can have a guy back there that can hit a hole a little bit better
and push a wheelchair really good.
Aaron Jones is your guy. And I think if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, it makes more sense to start a guy, not necessarily start. And I think that we have this argument, right? We have this, is it Ty, is it Jamal, is it Aaron argument. And to be honest, they're going to use all three of these guys in most of the games. So, but I think my guy at the end of the year, if I'm picking one, and I liked both Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones, to be honest, when they were both drafted last year, I was kind of bummed out that they both went to the same team. But I liked Valdez-Scantling and Equanimeous St. Brown this year too, and they drafted both those guys after they drafted Jamon Moore. This is some weird shtick that the Packers are pulling, where they, you know, take just a bunch of guys at the same position in each draft to figure out which one works here. But I think at the end of the year, especially the yards per carry, because Jamal Williams was the stacked box guy, I think that's easily going to go to Aaron Jones. And we'll just see. He has to stay healthy. He has to stay not suspended. And he's got to beat out Jamal Williams, who does have a leg up on him. And I do have to give that up. Like, if I'm drafting, I will take Jamal Williams first over Aaron Jones. But I like Aaron Jones because he's cheap. And that's why I have so many shares of him. Not as many as the Welsh thought I was going to.
No, but I didn't. I didn't. Well, so go check it out. Fantrax HQ, you can find that article. All right, let's talk a little bit about week one and a couple week one plays. Because Bogman and I have a couple players we want to bounce off you to see where you're at. Now, I've got a reference for us. I've got a Fantasy Pros, their week one rankings, which are compiled. Obviously, Fantasy Pros goes out there and they get, you know, a ton of rankers, and they'll kind of build in, you know, this is how everybody ranked out, and that's how the scoring system goes, blah, 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 blah. I've got a couple interesting players in their matchups, and I'll be able to reference where the week one consensus rank amongst Fantasy Pros rankers is. But first one I want to ask you about, Steve, is your thoughts week one for Carlos Hyde versus Pittsburgh? Because Carlos Hyde was Bogman and I firmly have been saying he's a drastically undervalued player in most drafts. He was taken so late. Obviously, Nick Chubb is a talent. Duke Johnson is practically the slot receiver on the team. And Carlos Hyde is one of those guys that he's kind of teetered in different spots of a running back two. Maybe he's a better running back three. No one seems to trust him. Week one, his consensus rank right now is 26. That's where he's sitting. Now, that is in standard. in PPR week one rankings. He
probably
is
lower.
24, so a little bit higher. Yeah,
okay.
He's ahead of guys. This is a great one. Actually, I'm going to save this one because I want to balance this out here. So, Steve, first, talk about Carlos Hyde versus Pittsburgh week one. How much do you like or dislike him for week one?
This Browns offense is kind of tough to project for week one. We haven't seen all of them mesh at all together, except for a little bit in the preseason. But you have a great point. I mean, when it comes to the Browns backfield at the beginning of the offseason, it was kind of the same thing for me with the Packers. Like, I don't know. There's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of guys. But there's a lot of clarity right now. And the clarity is it's Carlos Hyde's backfield. Nick Chubb probably isn't going to get a lot of work and not enough work to deter you away from starting Hyde. And like you said, Duke Johnson is the pass catcher. So it's Carlos Hyde's backfield, and he still got some juice. Last season, he was an RB1, folks. So I am not as low as the Fantasy Pros guys. I would have him as a mid-tier running back, too. And I believe that they're going to be down in this game. I think that it's going to be the Steelers kind of getting a lead in the second quarter. By the second half, they're going to be running the ball a bunch. But I think Hyde is still going to be used and might be used a lot in that passing game, too. So I put him at, like, you know, around RB 14, 15.
Okay, let me throw this at both of you guys. Who would you rather have week one starting? These are going to be borderline RB 2s to 3s on your team. Carlos Hyde or Royce Freeman? Steve, we'll start with you. Royce Freeman, Denver against Seattle, and Hyde against Pittsburgh.
I'm going to go Hyde.
Bogman?
What was it again? I'm sorry. It was Hyde versus who?
Royce Freeman. Denver against Seattle.
Royce Freeman. Seattle's defense is terrible.
Devontae Booker is the starter.
Yeah, I don't know how much that means.
All right. Well,
yeah, I don't buy that either. But yeah, he is listed as a starter for week one.
And he is ranked higher, by the way, ranked 21, where Carlos Hyde is ranked 24.
I think those are actually both good plays because I think, you know, Carlos Hyde should get high volume week one, because what do you want to do if you're playing Pittsburgh? You want to keep the ball away from the Pittsburgh offense, and you want to wear that defense out because it's not very good. So I think we could see a decent amount of carries from
Carlos
Hyde.
One more then, and Bogman, we'll start with you. Carlos Hyde versus Pittsburgh or Derrick Henry at Miami?
Oh,
PPR.
I'm gonna go Carlos Hyde.
Steve, what do you
think?
That's
tough.
Yeah, that is tough. I'm going Derrick Henry. I don't believe in the Dolphins defense at all. I think that the Titans can get up in that game and they're gonna run it out. They'll give it to Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry ranked 25th, one spot below Carlos Hyde in the consensus ranks for week one. Some fascinating guys, too, below Carlos Hyde. Rex Burkhead, Marshawn Lynch would be in there. Chris Carson, who a lot, you know, everyone is touting about Chris Carson being the starter, is firmly down there. So Carlos Hyde, I think round table here, is a strong, firm RB2 and a good play to play this week. All right, Bogman, what week one guy do you want to hit?
I wanted to ask about Saquon Barkley against Jacksonville, because that's a dude that you're going to have, you know, you have to take him in round one, but yep. Jacksonville's defense was super stout last year. I mean, there are times where they just absolutely ruined you, and it's just such a tough matchup. So I guess my question is, what is your confidence level? And then I'll give you the standard.
This is like
here.
A DFS type of a question for DFS right. players. And by the way, we've got about 2 minutes.
Yeah, DFS would be tough because I'm sure Saquon is pretty expensive. I don't know. I don't have his DK value right now in front of me. But I think that he's pretty much matchup proof. And like you said, if you draft him in the first round, you're going to play him. You're not benching Saquon Barkley. That's not an option. I would play him against the Jaguars, and I would feel good about that. They've got a great defense, obviously. We all know it. They're fast all over the place. But Eli doesn't want to test Jalen Ramsey, and he doesn't want – and the coaching staff isn't going to make him. So they're going to be a lot of up over the middle to, you know, crossing routes, things like that. And it's going to be a lot of screens to Saquon. He could get like 8 or 9 targets in this game.
They got him listed. I'm looking at this same link that the Welsh had. They got him listed at 10. I don't think he's going to hit 10. I think I would put him at like at 15.
So again, this has nothing to do with season long, but from a DFS perspective, you're a firm and hard pass on Saquon Barkley week one.
I am. Yeah, absolutely.
I think that RB10 is, you know, I would put him as a back end RB1. I would put him around there.
Man, that's a tough one. Honestly, we could probably sit and do this all night long just going through these, especially the week one consensus ranks are just a fascinating thing to me. But he is Steve Torrini. You can find him over on Fantrax. Follow him on Twitter at FFProfessorST3. Follow him there. You'll be able to check out all the hot take. It'll really be the hot take stream that's going on. So follow his Twitter to get more information on that. Go check out his articles over at Fantrax HQ. Steve, thanks for so much for joining us, my man.
Been a pleasure, guys. Anytime.
Awesome. Well, good luck in week one. Go follow him. And you don't go anywhere because we will be back here in just a minute. That's Bogman. I'm Welsh. This is In This League. Go check us out, InThisLeague.com. We've got this. If you missed any of it, you missed hour one, make sure you get it on demand. We don't want you to miss any of it. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back right after this break on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator, plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
It's In This League.
No one asked you anything ever, so whomever's name is
In This League.
Why don't you take a letter opener and stick it in your skull?
Hey. Welcome back. It is In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hour two. We still got a third hour coming up, and I think we got our guy Chris Allen from Fantrax also joining us, a little Fantrax
nice.
On the show here. And big ups to Steve Torrini who joined us. And if you want to go back and listen or you happen to miss it, you can catch it on demand anywhere. Just go look for the podcast, and you can always catch us live on iTunes, TuneIn, iHeart, and the Fantasy Sports Radio app. Lots and lots of ways to be enjoying your fantasy coverage this year. So we talked a little bit about week one. We talked about some sneaky plays. Like I said, Chris is going to be joining us, I believe, in hour three. But Bogman, you pulled up an interesting article. And we're in that little precipice of like, there's still some drafts going on. There's still conversation being put around week one. And you still have the access to be able to make these moves before there's too much craziness going on. So sometimes you can still go find, you know, predictions or sleeper articles, and you may be able to take advantage in drafts. But you found this article that Bobby Sylvester from Fantasy Pros put out of the 8 must have fantasy football players. And we were going to take a look at it and see what we agree and what we disagree with.
Now, I got to be honest, and I did this for radio purposes. I didn't look at the 8.
Okay.
Because I wanted you to kind of, you know, softball pitch them to me and see if I agree with them or not.
Okay. I like it. I have not either. So I'm just taking a look, and okay, these will be interesting. So yeah, this is like a game. Bogman, are you ready to play? 8 must-have fantasy football players you must have for the must season.
I'll take must for 200, Alex.
Isn't that like a cologne? Like a must?
Musk.
Musk. Yeah, are you a cologne
musk
guy?
Musk is like a scent. Absolutely not.
No. I think I was when I was younger, and then I became an adult, and I was like, oh, I don't need to put on scents.
Right.
But at the same time,
I don't
time,
think
though,
I smell bad enough for that. So
yeah. Well, I mean, we're like,
well, sometimes.
I mean, we're in Arizona, so maybe
at the end of the day,
maybe we do need to dab a little bit.
Get a little musky.
What's an adult cologne? What's the appropriate adult cologne? Can someone let me know?
It's called deodorant.
Oh yeah, well, absolutely. You got to have a really good deodorant. No, but I'm saying like you want to spice it up a little bit. You know what I remember? This is like. This was
Tommy
the one
Hilfiger.
When you, well, yeah, I remember Tommy Hilfiger. This was the one that you knew that you know nothing about life is you would put on, do you remember Drac Noir?
Drakkar Noir.
Drakkar Noir.
I only know about that because of what's that? What's the show with the redhead on Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
Oh, but okay.
Her roommate is this gay guy, and he makes a song about Drakkar Noir.
Does he really?
That's the only time I ever heard of it.
Okay, because I totally had that when I was 16 in high school.
Oh.
Drakkar Noir?
Drakkar Noir. I think that's what they said.
Yeah, I think it's something like that. Like, that proved that you knew nothing about anything. So I don't know, like, what does an adult human being that wants to do a little dabbing, what would you do? What's the percentage? What is the percentage of men you think that put on cologne that aren't from the Jersey Shore?
Probably 10%, maybe. I don't know.
I think if you're Italian, that goes up to maybe like 68%?
We have to ask Joe. I don't know.
That's a good point.
Let's, you know what? Next show we record with Joe, we have to ask him if he uses cologne on a daily basis.
You know what?
What are the odds?
I'll bet you it's an instant yes.
I don't know, because he doesn't have, like, is he usually wearing, like, button-down shirts with his chest hair showing and a bunch of gold chains?
Okay, I say there's zero chance that he comes and says never. I say it's very likely that he says always, but potentially the best easy answer is to say, yeah, definitely on when the occasion's right, he's going to say
right.
that. So there's no chance in my mind that he does not dab a little bit of cologne at any time. He's Italian.
I just feel like if you're wearing cologne, you also need a pinky ring.
Maybe. I mean, pinky
rings are
kinda
hot.
Why
they go together to me.
You got to wear a gold chain too?
Yeah, gold chain and a pinky ring and lots of chest hair puffing out.
Okay. And then I'm trying to think. You drink like a vodka? Like a vodka straight, a little vodka water too.
I mean, you remember how I should have stopped with the cop stuff earlier?
Oh,
I think our picture's getting a little too real here.
Okay, so. Okay. All right. So Bobby Sylvester's 8 must-have fantasy football players, maybe purely out of not giving away his article, though it is multi-days late. We won't talk about every single one of them, but
we'll talk about 7 of 8.
I will say, regardless, even if we talked about every single one, you're going to want to go and check out his write-up. So I don't even know Bobby, by the way, but I don't want to take their content and not give them love for it. So go to fantasypros.com.
He's got way more followers than us. He's not missing anything.
No, he doesn't care or know who we are or anything like that. But I'm saying you want to go get his takes on it. Go check out the article over at Fantasy Pros. Player number one, who is a must-have fantasy football player, Bogman, Ryan Grant, wide receiver from the Colts.
Okay. I do like Ryan Grant, and I think I have 2 or 3 shares of him. I think I just took him in a draft today, to be honest with you, a slow draft. I still have 6 rounds to go, started 2 weeks ago.
Can you imagine?
It's 8-hour clock. The clock's too long. So
8-hour clock? What psychopath did that?
It's the IDP podcast. Gary wanted to give these guys a long clock.
Oh,
you know?
Gary, dude.
I was like, I don't know, Gary. I think we probably should have gone 5 hours tops. And he's like, if we need to lower it, if we're getting close, we'll lower it. So, I mean, if it's not done Monday, we're probably going to have to lower that sucker.
Oh,
but there's
boy.
Only 5 rounds. But anyway. I don't know. I don't know if I took him. I had him on my board. You know what? I didn't take him. I took because James Washington was still available. So I took James Washington instead. But Ryan Grant is not a bad pick. He's the number two wide receiver for the Colts right now. I think they're looking at Doris Fountain possibly as that wide receiver 3, or at least going to make the roster. And obviously T.Y. Hilton is going to be the number one, but he's definitely the 3rd receiving option because I think Jack Doyle is the 2nd receiving
option.
What
do you think he is as far as the Fantasy Pros consensus week 1 wide receiver ranks? Where do you think he sits?
Play the Bengals. So not good. 50, 60.
Dude, you nailed it. 50 on the dot. But that's not bad. That is good. You want to know the guys that are below him? You want to hear some guys below him?
Yeah, let's hear him.
51, Rishard Matthews.
Okay.
52, Downtown John Brown.
All right.
55, DJ Moore.
DJ Moore, 55. Okay.
56, Keelan Cole.
56?
Kenny Golladay, 62. The consensus rankers got Kenny Golladay at 62 versus the Jets. This is wildly stupid.
I think, well, the Kenny Golladay one, to be honest, I don't think is that bad to have him down there. Well, think of this. They're playing the Jets week one.
Yeah.
And they should get up fairly early. So if Kenny Golladay doesn't get early action, then he's probably not going to get action at the end of the game.
They should
be running LeGarrette Blount. They should be running Kerryon Johnson and those guys. So where, I mean, do they have Golden Tate and Marvin Jones low too? I bet they kind of do. I bet they're closer to, 25.
Let's look here. They've got.
DFS logic here.
Golden Tate is 12.
12?
And Marvin Jones is 19.
19. Okay. Wow, I'm kind of surprised that they would have those two guys so high and bury Kenny Golladay.
Not about that life. All right, are you ready for number 7 on the 8 you must own?
Let's hear it.
Dak Prescott.
All right, skip it.
Go Dallas quarterback. No?
No.
Absolutely not. What do you think his week one rank is?
And this is going to be way different when we look at it next week because there are going to be more people submitting. QB 15.
Nailed it. Whoa, Bogman.
I'm not looking at it.
You are the worst human being at guessing. You have completely nailed the last two. You nailed the two guys, Bogman. Good job on you.
Phrasing. All right, thanks.
You nailed them. All right, so no, I agree with that one. Absolutely not. I'm fine with Ryan Grant. I wouldn't call him a must-own. I wouldn't call Dak Prescott a must-own. Number 6, more interesting. Jacksonville wide receiver, Keelan Cole.
See, I like this one because we saw, why can't I remember? Who just got Marquise Lee get hurt? So I think Keelan Cole turns into the number one. Now, it's probably going to be spread out a little bit. I don't know if Keelan Cole is going to be like a true number one. But, I mean, it's not like, you know, Kelvin Benjamin in Buffalo where it's him and no one else. So they have other options. So I think it's week to week. But I think he's the guy that was running with the ones. He probably has built the most rapport with Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles loves throwing to the slot guys. And that's where he's going to play. So I like that call. I think that's a good one.
I like that you didn't slot shame or anything like that.
No slot shaming.
I really appreciate that. Yeah, I'm down with that one. I'm still like, I'm baffled with the week one rankings that Keelan Cole is below Ryan Grant, though.
Maybe that's, they think Jacksonville's going to, you know, same logic. Jacksonville's going to pound the Giants into the ground. So why are they going to be passing the ball that much when you have Leonard Fournette, you know, just run Leonard Fournette a million times. So.
Number 5 on the must own fantasy players. Houston running back Lamar Miller.
Okay.
I think this is the logic on this is actually very sound with a lot of the late stuff we've gotten about the workhorse ability, Deontay Foreman on the pup. I feel like you're going to go away from this, but I don't think this is wrong.
Well, I'm more into it than I was a month ago, especially with Deontay Foreman going on the pup. So he's out at least the first 6 weeks. What I saw, Lamar Miller got much better with Deshaun Watson, in the game last year. His performance was much, much better. So that should improve for him. I just don't know how much faith I have in Lamar Miller. I mean, we just did our shares episode, like I said before, and neither one of us had any Lamar Miller, right?
Zero of the shares.
So I don't think that we're on this one, but I understand the logic behind it because it does look good.
Okay. Number 4, Buffalo wide receiver Kelvin Benjamin. That bad team wide receiver one argument I feel like is in play here.
Well, I tell you why I like this one, because where are you getting Kelvin Benjamin? You give him a wide receiver 4, wide receiver 5. I mean, I know he's a big
fat mean draft wise? Yeah, you're getting him in that range.
Right. He's a big fat mess most of the time, whatever. But he's looked good with Josh Allen, and Josh Allen's probably going to wind up being the starter there. So he's looked good so far in the preseason. And really, you know, I know this is flawed logic or whatever, a crutch argument, whatever you want to say. He's the only guy they have to throw to that's not Charles Clay and LeSean McCoy. So he's easily the number one wide receiver option this year.
What do you think he is week one ranked?
Who do they play? Buffalo plays
Baltimore.
Baltimore.
At Baltimore.
Wide receiver 23.
No.
Okay, 40. I was way off on the 40?
40.
Give me some guys way ahead of him.
Okay, well, the first three guys ahead of him, Jordy Nelson, 39, Nelson Aguilar, 38, and Sterling Shepard, 37. Guys below him, Kenny Stills, Devontae Parker, Will Fuller.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I get it.
I got one for you. Sammy Watkins or Kelvin Benjamin?
Kansas City plays who week one?
The Clippers.
Dude, I'm going to go with Kelvin Benjamin.
Sammy's ranked 31.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Kelvin Benjamin in that one.
That's an interesting one. All right, let's get back to it. Number three, Tennessee wide receiver Corey Davis.
I love your pause. Number three.
They're building the tension.
That was who again? I was so caught up in your pause, I missed who it was.
Tennessee wide receiver Corey Davis.
I like Corey Davis.
But
must own. I think that he's going at a fair value. I think some drafts people are really into Corey Davis, so he's going a little too high. I think he's going too high more than he's going too low. So I guess if he falls to right around, you know, where his normal value is, that's fine. But I find in most leagues, and I think I have a couple shares of him, I think in most leagues you find that one, the Corey Davis truther guy who's like, oh, I'm getting a wide receiver one here as my wide receiver two, and so I'm going to snap him up because I already took Julio Jones. I already took Odell Beckham. And now I'm set. I don't have to pick a wide receiver for a while.
What number do you think he is week one?
Tennessee plays Miami?
Yeah.
Wide receiver 15.
Ooh, no, that would be high. But you said his number with Kelvin Benjamin, 23.
23?
You want to know who he's ahead of?
Yeah.
Michael Crabtree.
Okay.
Juju Smith-Schuster.
All right.
And Brandon Cooks.
And Brandon Cooks. And
PPR,
LA
by the way.
Played the Raiders. Who'd they play?
Yeah, the Raiders.
I think I'd take Brandon Cooks.
Three guys above Corey Davis, Allen Robinson, Chris Hogan, and Amari Cooper.
Allen Robinson, Chris Hogan. I'm okay with all those.
Okay. I want to get to these because number one is fascinating. Number two, running back from the Oakland Raiders, Marshawn Lynch.
You know what? I like this.
You try to get him everywhere, I notice.
I don't try to get him everywhere, but he does fall. To be honest, in our auction that we did 2 nights ago, the Welsh, I was trying to get him so hard. I just couldn't pay the extra like $4 for him, and I should have. I regret it now. Not that I love Marshawn Lynch or where he went, but the running backs, it was 16-man league. Running backs went for way too much money. I paid $60 for Saquon last night. It is a keeper league, but I should have paid up for him a little bit more, and it just didn't, and I regret it. So I'm going to agree with that one.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily with that one, but number one.
I think
he's
going to score a bunch of touchdowns. So.
Number one, wide receiver with the Green Bay Packers, Geronimo Allison.
Really?
The number one player that must be owned on this article.
So here's the logic behind this.
My pause came in really helpful in that one because no one expected that.
Here's the logic is they're already trying to ship out Randall Cobb. They like Geronimo. He's kind of made a name for himself in Green Bay. So he could wind up being the second wide receiver for an offense with Aaron Rodgers. The reason that I'm not going to necessarily disagree with this because Geronimo Allison's basically free. You know, you can get him in the last round of most of your drafts. So why not? You know what I mean? Why not take a shot on him if he's your guy that you want to take a shot? I'm going to go ahead and agree with this one because of his cost.
I like and you nailed it right there when, you know, we went through our shares episode. A big point of all of it was like, listen, you're going to see the most shares of guys that you have the ability to take. So a lot of these guys in an article like this are players that you want to have the ability to invest in. You can't must own players. Can't be Lev Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, Devontae Adams. It can't be that type of stuff. So I think that one is interesting. There's a lot more to cover it. And maybe we'll even ask a few of these to our guests coming up on the other side of the hour into the third hour. We got Chris Allen from Fantrax joining us. So don't you go anywhere because we got a whole bunch more to cover. That's Bogman on the Welsh. You can find us on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh, at Bogman Sports, even tweet the main account at In This League Pod. Go to InThisLeague.com. We have got In This League apparel stuff, podcasts, all your resources and all your links to get to the places that are going to help you win your leagues and get you set for this year. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.